What's good, y'all? It's Gavin or Tweak.
What up, what up? It's Charles or Chuck.
And what's going on? You got Matt or Has. First, let me get these out of the way so that Charles doesn't have to. Before I even ask you guys how you're doing, check out the Patreon, patreon.com/tweaktalks. Yes. Got some great Smash Ultimate content to cover today. We won't get to it all in this episode because there's a lot of it because we missed last week. So we're going to do a lot this week. Cover the rest on the Patreon, and we're excited to do that. We love our patrons, so thanks for the support. Continue to get that moving. Also, the throne. Dude, Charles, Gavin, we've seen you guys in San Jose in a few weeks here. I can't believe it. The throne is coming up, not this weekend, but the one after. Make sure you guys check out the shop. The merchandise is actually fucking fire this year, which is amazing. It'll be linked in the description below. So buy a piece of merch, support our event out. Charles and I spend many, many hours on this event, along with many others who do a lot of hard work, some of your favorites in the community. So we're really excited to show you what we get. I think we killed it at Throne 1. I think we're going to do even better at Throne 2. Really looking forward to it. And Charles and I actually have decided to take a nice little vacation together before the Throne. We're going to head out to San Jose a few days early and kind of just chill and vibe before the tournament starts. So that should be a lot of fun, and I'm looking forward to it very much because, like you, Charles, I know I've been working my ass off these last couple weeks, months, whatever, and I just needed a break before we kind of dive into the craziness of running a tournament and all that shit. So I'm excited, dude. It should be a good time.
Yes, yes. And we're also going to be relaxing, and we're also going to be preparing for the event, too. That's why we're going, right, Az? That's why we're going.
Oh, because we have to write it off. That's true. That's true.
You have to scout out the area, make sure it's clear, you know.
A lot of important prep work goes in. You guys wouldn't understand, okay? When you throw your own invitational, you don't understand, chap. But before we dive into it, I mean, there are a lot of great tournaments happening. Coming up, actually, not just the Throne. We got Let's Make Moves Miami, of course. Shout out to our boy Max. Always throws a banger event down South Beach. So we're excited for that. But let's talk about some past events that maybe have occurred recently. But before we get into that, all you'll do... Gav, what's going on, man? How you doing?
I'm good. It's been busy month, and it's still not quite over. Going into early November too, I'm going to be going to Miami, then I'm immediately going to be going to Throne, so pretty busy, but I'm excited. I'm excited to see y'all, especially. It's been a while. Call of Duty came out, so I've been pretty degenerate.
How do you like it?
I really like the movement. I don't have that many good things to say outside of that. But that's kind of the trend with Call of Duty. They release the game, it's kind of bare bones. It gets some updates that are exciting, and then a new game's right around the corner. It's a strange process, but I think it has a lot of potential. The Warzone engine will be like the new movement system. So it's omni movement for those who don't keep up with COD. So you can slide in different directions. You can move in all these, like running in diagonally. And so you can kind of play like a demon, I'm not going to lie. And that's why I really like it.
Right. So you can run backwards.
Yes.
Right. So that's a big deal. So because when you say omni, I'm like, well, you could technically run in any direction, but there's limitations with like sensitivity and stuff, right?
Yeah.
And being able to look at someone while you're running is backwards is huge.
You can do everything you could do while you're running and standing, while sliding, like shooting ADS.
So wait, you can slide going backwards?
Yes. And dolphin diving is in the game still, and you can ADS and shoot mid dolphin dive.
What is dolphin diving?
It's just like the mechanics called for some reason. Like, it's just like an actual, like, if you press the button to slide, but you hold it, your character just dives. And like while you're diving, you can like zoom in, you can shoot. Like, so that mechanic's been in a bunch of CODs, but you've never been able to do stuff before like hitting the ground. So the movement's just crazy. The omni movement, like how much freedom there is, like while you're sliding and diving, like it's pretty sick. Didn't expect to be talking about this for more than 30 seconds, but here we are.
I mean, movement's pretty important.
Zombies is always fun in Black Ops games too. I always do the camo grind, so I'm always wasting my life away grinding for camos. So yeah, I also went to a Smash tournament Saturday. We're recording this on Monday. So yeah, just preparing for Miami, basically. How y'all doing? I don't know who to go to. Should I coin flip this?
Yeah.
I mean, we're all gonna go eventually.
Yeah, I'll just send it to Charles, bro.
What was that outlook, Charles? What the
hell? We're all gonna go eventually.
Charles doesn't even want it. Give it to me. I'll do it.
All right, go ahead.
I'll go after Hez.
I'm fucking miserable, dude. The Yankees are down 0-2. I literally was so pissed watching, like, my wife is not a sports person. Like, you know, she likes soccer and like watches that, but she kind of just like chills and watches it. She's not into it, you know, the same way that I am. So I literally at one point, the Yankees second baseman, Gleyber Torres, made an error, and I literally, like a cartoon character, took my hat off and threw it on the ground. Like when Diddy Kong loses a bonus game. You know what I'm saying? Like I seriously did that. And the next day she's like, I don't want to bring this up because it was so funny in the moment, but I could tell you were upset. She's like, but that was fucking hilarious when you just turned your, I was like, yeah, I don't know. Like I'm just really into it. So the Yankees are down 0-2 when they should be at least tied 1-1 right now, which makes me very upset, but they got a series at home. Silver lining is the tickets were like $1,800 for decent tickets to go to Yankee Stadium. But now that the Yankees can't clinch at home, the tickets have gone from $1,800 to like $700. So I think I'm going to go insane to a game. If they win tonight, Monday night, I will be buying tickets to go on Tuesday. That's my plan. So that would be awesome. I'm really excited. I hope they win tonight so I have an excuse. I'm not going to go if they're down 0-3. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's stupid. Like, what the fuck? Like, they're probably not going to, you know, I don't believe in them, but what the, like, come on, man.
Are the Yankees supposed to be good? Do they usually not lose? Is that why you're mad?
So they're good this year. That's the thing, is everyone keeps thinking that the Yankees are always a good team. This is the first time they've been in the World Series in 15 years, which is crazy. So it's been a while. They've kind of sucked for a while. And they obviously, if you don't go to the World Series, you can't win it. So it's been a long time since they've been back. But I grew up with like the 90s Yankees, like, you know, Derek Jeter, David Cohn, Andy Pettit. I grew up with all those amazing teams. Diehard Yankee fan. I moved to Boston, which made it really hard, especially since they've sucked the last 10 years or whatever. So I'm really into it. And this year I probably watched or listened to like 80% plus of the games. Like if not, just had it on the background somewhere. I was really, 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 really into it. So to see them get to the World Series and now just kind of fucking fall apart is killing me. But that aside, I had a great time watching Gavin. I had the stream up on Saturday, for Gavin's tournament. I had a great time watching him. I just like watching your region play too. You have a lot of great players in your region. I had a lot of fun watching. Basically the top eight is where I tuned in. So I thought that was fucking awesome. And that aside, I really am looking forward to Throne. I just love the team that we work with. I get to see, you know, obviously, you know, Charles and Gavin, but Phil and Paris Phil, EE and Light and Mars are all going to be there, which are some of my favorite guys ever. Plus just great vibes with all the people we work with. So I'm excited. We got a big month coming up here. There's a lot to look forward to in terms of Smash and everything else outside of it. So how are you doing, Charles?
Doing good. I've just been renovating a lot of rental units. So I did a shower last weekend, full shower reno, ripped out the old one, put in the new one.
Nice.
I was able to actually work with one of my old friends. I mean, still really close friends with him, but play like brawl with him and stuff. His name's Raven. So that was really fun. And what else did? Yeah, I mean, just still renovating a bunch of like floors and kitchens and stuff like that. So it's been a lot of work. It's been really fun. I've done all this stuff before, but I did live in California and didn't do any construction for like 6 or 7 years. So it's a bit of, feels like this first year is like a refresher course, you know what I mean? But yeah, I've been having a good time. I think just fabricating or renovating is just really fun in general. So been having a good time, and I am a little sad that I've been watching like League Worlds, and I wanted Gen G to win, and they lost the T1. And it's so lame because Gen G has been destroying, mopping everyone for the entire year, and then at Worlds they just lose the T1. Fucking Faker, man. Bullshit. But yeah, other than that, I've been having a good time. Smash has been really fun. I've been playing a lot of Rivals. Rivals is like very addicting, very fun. Being able to play online ranked in Hawaii is kind of a trip. The area I live in on the island, it doesn't have the best connection, so I get like lag spikes here and there, but I really can't complain. I can play with a solid connection on an online ladder, which is really all I want. I just want to play a platform fighter with stable online and a good ladder with people playing. And Rivals hits all those checks. It's a very fun game. Yeah, it's a very fun game.
It's a great game. I meant to say, I think we kind of skipped that week where all of us were playing it, right? Did we talk about Rivals at all or not really? Because it was for the first time in a while, and Marcus obviously too, the three of us plus Marcus were all really playing and enjoying Rivals when it first came out. Like that demo period was, it was really fun to try. And I'm pretty adverse to learning new shit, especially when it comes to a platform fighter, because I'm like, bro, I got Smash right here. Like, why would I play that? But it was really fun and refreshing. Chat, who do you think we all main? Before we go on to say who it was, I want to see what you guys guess and think if you see if you can guess who all four of us mained in the game. If anyone gets it right, I'll be impressed. So we'll save that. We'll reveal that some other time. But I think that'd be a fun one for the chat to try.
Put it in the comments, though. Next episode we'll reveal. Put in the comments your guess.
If anyone gets it right, I'll pay for your Patreon subscription for 1 month. All right? Because the odds are, tough, man. That's tough. That is not all easy. Getting all four is really... Stuff. I'll be impressed.
At least the roster is not crazy. Like, imagine doing that for Ultimate. Guessing someone's main, you have no idea.
Wait, but it's I think a lot of people could guess our mains in Ultimate at this point, Charles.
Maybe. Well, right. I'm just saying if you didn't know.
Damn it. All right. Anyway. What was I going to say? Jeez. Gav, why don't we talk about the tournament you went to. I have some commentary on it. And then the tournament you have coming up this weekend. I don't know if you saw any of the seeding for Let's Make Moves Miami or anything. No. I don't know if you've looked at it yet. Or whatever. It's looking stacked, though. We could preview it if you wanted to. I don't know if you're one of those guys right now or not.
Cool. I'm down. No worries.
All right. Let's talk about your Rutgers tournament, though.
Sure.
Well.
So, I'm not going to lie. I think a lot of people feel this way, and it's not even like a surprise to many people, but Ultimate's kind of whatever right now. Like, I don't really play much. I really want a new game. I really, really want a new Smash pretty bad. So I don't really practice that much. But this tournament was coming up. Zomba hit me up, Shasta Zomba, to just let me know that the event was happening a couple days beforehand. And I managed to get a ride with Noodle, another South Jersey guy, probably one of the coolest Ultimate players, to be honest, with the DK. So it ended up being a really cool time. It was a nice drive with everyone from my area.
Wait, time out. Isn't Noodle the DK BK guy?
Yes.
Okay, there you go. Now you all know.
That makes it easier probably for everyone.
He is actually a technical DK player with like he's very fun to watch is what I'll say. Yeah. So, all right. Anyway, sorry.
He plays very creative and free flow and lots of cool stuff. So yeah, I ended up going, which is nice because like I said, I think since Cirque, I had played the game one time for like maybe an hour on stream. Which is usually out of character for me. I'm usually pretty like rigorous with my routine and practice. So I thought this was great because, you know, if I show up, I have to play. I can't run away from the game if I'm at a tournament. So, and my region's very good and it became a B tier like kind of overnight. You know, when me, Zomba, and Jackal, and Syrup are registering, and Pharaoh, and all those guys, like, it makes it easier for the tournament to bump up pretty quickly. It was pretty fun. I felt like I eventually started playing well. Like, I warmed up, got a lot of sets in with a lot of different people. A lot of people came up to me and asked me if I was from New Jersey. That was interesting. That actually happened like probably like five times, like across five different people. I guess I'm getting old.
Those are the signs.
During top eight.
Active.
Yeah. Unranked New Jersey.
Unranked New Jersey wins the local tournament. That's what I texted Gavin after he won.
So what was I going to say? Oh, and during top eight, at one point, the crowd was, it's like people in the background were talking. They were like, yeah, So Tweak is like OG New Jersey, you know, Syrup's like new school. And I'm just thinking to myself, like, I've never considered myself OG New Jersey before.
Dude.
But like to them, like I definitely am. So I get it.
I don't even,
but there's like multiple generations of Smash before me, especially New Jersey. So yeah, it's just crazy. Life is different now.
In all, you are OG. Like I know that you know guys from like PM and like Melee and stuff, and they're like OG, you know. But you are for Ultimate and this group, of course. Come on, man.
So yeah, I played against like BD Bean. I played Pharaoh. I played Jackal. I played Mr. E. I played Syrup Zomba. So yeah, lots of good sets. I think I would say I finally started to ramp up when I was in Losers and started playing Zomba. I started to ramp up like my level of play, and then it just, you know, it was pretty good from there. Yeah, I beat Jackal, Zomba, Syrup a couple times. I beat Mr. E. I dropped a set to Mr. E and Winners. That one was really tough. I genuinely did not know what to do. It felt like nothing was working. But I just sat down, like, waiting for my next matches, and I just came up with a new game plan, and it just worked really well in Losers, so not really sweating that. But yeah, I mean, I'm not even sure what else to say. A lot of people were surprised at how well I did versus Steve, which makes sense. Along with beating Zomba, which makes sense because those couple things have been pretty rough for me. So
that's as you know. So I was watching. So the way I found out, I didn't even know this tournament was going on. Like you hadn't told me, and it was like a smaller tournament. So
yeah.
The way I found out was Mr. E tweeting that he beat you. I was like, what the fuck? I was like, what is going on right now?
Where is Gavin right now?
Yeah, right, right. There were like so many questions came into my mind. I'm like, how did this happen? Like, first off, good for Mr. E. Hell yeah. Like, that's my guy. I like Mr. E. He's a great player. And when he's on one, like, he's just on one. I don't know what it is. Like, when he's on, he's on. And it is what it is. So he had a good tournament, which I was happy to see. I was like, I got to watch this. And I tune in and it's like you and Jackal, you and Jude, who I also love watching you guys play. It was like 1-1 or some shit and you were losing. I was like, what the fuck is happening right now? And then was that game 4 that you hit him with the upbeat?
Yeah.
That is when I was like, okay, he's playing better now. Like that, like you said, it was against Zomba. I was like, when he did that, like for those of you who didn't see it, was it a tech chase? Am I remembering this correctly?
So It was just like a kind of Diddy Wolf scenario where I do a banana toss, and since banana is transcendent, while he did laser, we kind of traded. So I didn't have a lot of frame advantage to do like traditional stuff, and it was like long distance. So when I knocked him down, a lot of the time, like he didn't have a lot of stage. Like he was like near like the left platform, so like kind of cornered. So a lot of the time barrels there can be checkmate, because when you trip on banana, you also don't have invincibility from get up attack. So that makes it a little easier too. But yeah, I definitely cheesed my way to evening up the set and kind of just took it from there.
Well, I'd say too. Yeah, so that was good because that's like a matchup you're familiar with. So I was like, okay, that was obviously always, you know, it's good to beat Jude. He's a great player. Yeah. He can definitely sneak, he can definitely get W's on you. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's a thing that can happen. And I was like, okay, great. Like, that was a good win. Now he's got to play Zomba, which has been tricky for you. You beat him at Cirque, though, right? At Livitational? Didn't you beat Zomba? Or was that a different
tournament?
Yeah. You did. Okay.
So when I played Zomba at the Invitational, we didn't even talk about this on the podcast at all because we missed a week, but. I went down 2-1 at one point, and I thought I was playing okay for at some point. And then game 4 and 5, I just really, really like won just solidly. And it felt like it transitioned into our next set too, a little bit, like, especially like the last couple games from the tournament on Saturday. Yeah, so I two wins in a row on Zomba is good because I definitely have a lot of work to do because to like even up our record a little bit. So, yeah, it was unfortunate though because me and Zomba probably shouldn't have been playing so early. It wasn't like the earliest round ever, but we were the top two seeds, I think, and we played for fourth because we both lost or like a round earlier than we probably should have in terms of seeding. Because I lost to Eric and then Zomba lost to Syrup, and Zomba usually does pretty well versus Syrup, so I thought that was good for Syrup, I think, because he won 3-1 as well, which is pretty good. He hit Zomba with a crazy mix up where he did like a nil on the block when Zomba hit the platform and shielded
the grab.
He did nil into immediate up throw kill,
dude.
So he's like slightly under the platform, you know what I mean? So like, it's just like such a weird option to get hit by. Cause if you get hit by like a Wario bite or like a Diddy monkey flip, you're not going to like die there. But that situation was kind of faster than those options in some ways. So
it's so funny you said that because I always talk about how much I value command grabs that you can use in the air, especially in ultimate, like in general in Smash, just because shielding's so strong typically, but in ultimate where everyone's mashing in the air, like having that command grab is so nice. It seems like, fuck it, custom command grab in the air.
It's not supposed to be a command grab in the air.
No. Yeah, and it was cool because I saw Sora post that clip. And I had to like rewatch it a couple times. I was like, holy shit. Like this is like, and especially against Steve, like, what are you going to do? Drop shield? Like no fucking way. Are you going to, you want to get up air back air?
There. Dude. He has really safe moves on shield. So I ended up playing Zomba. It just was one of those, like it didn't go as expected in terms of like where the matches happened and all that.
You know, what's crazy about the nil grab as well, especially for in a vertical aspect when you're doing it underneath the platform, Steve's grab actually arcs upward.
Yeah.
Which is so broken for that.
It like goes up and then it like teeters out.
Yeah, right, exactly. And then even when I'm thinking about that nil KO with the up throw, I think of Akola versus Zachary when Akola did the nil on the town and city platform that was like stretched out like past the ledge. And then Zachary was at the end of the platform. Akola just like nils on the other side, grab forward throw, insta KO, like just top stock taken. That's such a crazy threat to have. But yeah, we all know Steve's broken, but yeah, another reason why.
Yeah. So I had a good time. Like I said, I probably wouldn't have gotten the good practice in without that bracket happening. So shouts to Pharaoh and everyone at Rutgers. Like I know Pharaoh, does a lot for like the Smash Club at Rutgers and stuff. Shouts to Zomba for telling me about the event and shouts to Noodle for picking me up. And it was a chill time. Sorry to my carpool for having this to stay later than expected. Cause I had to play all of Losers until like 11 something or whatever, but it was a good time. And like I said, it's kind of cool that our region can kind of like spontaneously create like high tiered tournaments. That's really cool.
There's a country that does that.
I was gonna say, you know,
more than just high tiered tournaments. They're right. Like as high as possible, but
tiers are cool too, you know.
They help.
I just love playing Diddy Kong, bro. Like winning with Diddy Kong is definitely the best feeling I've had in Ultimate, regardless of the type of tournament it is. Like he's just like the effort I've put in with the character and like applying it to a bunch of tense scenarios or like hard matchups or blah, blah, blah. Like there's just nothing like it. It's like people have said, like there's so many situations where I should be going another character, but like we all know, like I'm probably not, especially if I'm feeling like the more confident I am, the more likely I am to just go Diddy Kong. So I don't know. He's just the GOAT, bro.
Yeah. I was going to ask you, you've been putting a lot of effort into the Steve matchup. I know the Rob matchup was something that you felt really confident at first, and then Zomba started doing really well against you. So how does it feel after working on these matchups, whether it be player specific or character specific, and seeing the W's come through. You know, I feel like you've been working on those particular matchups for months now. Maybe
for longer. We talked about it a little bit on the show for Rob. Something that I feel like Diddy Kong's been struggling with is characters that recover high frequently.
Wario, because his
vertical threats like aren't that threatening. Like, he might have to risk like throwing his banana upwards and like losing control of it for a while just to like threaten the area up there. His up air doesn't do much. So I've been having a hard time with Wario, Rob, Snake, Hero. And not only is going high so strong for them versus Diddy Kong, that means I'm also not ledge trapping, which is something Diddy Kong thrives in a lot. I get a lot of kills that way. I get a lot of damage that way. I get crazy momentum that way. I get a lot of information about how to beat my opponents that way. So the more that part of the game gets skipped by these characters, the less I have to work with, and the more likely I am to even get reversaled in some spots too. If I'm not playing really, really, if I'm not executing too well. So yeah, I have to work on that still, but like, I still got a couple back airs, couple up airs. Like, you just got to try to not only hit them in a way that can hit them, you also want to try to hit them in a way that, you know, like for Rob, you really want to try to keep him in disadvantage so he doesn't have enough gas to like be too flexible and all that stuff. And my disadvantage also just has to be on point. Zomba's so good at catching my double jumps or like chipping me out with projectiles and kind of checkmating me. Like, and just the way the momentum was working, I just got more out of like scrappy scenarios than he did. So, also another problem I have with Rob as Diddy is Rob's up tilt. It's so ridiculous versus characters. It's a ridiculous move in general, I think. Like, genuinely, like really, really ridiculous. But versus Diddy Kong, like, or characters with like bad air drift, it just feels like I can't do anything sometimes.
Yeah, you can't get around it. It's hard to navigate.
And like, if I'm like too, like, if I get like jump happy when I'm like trying to get an opening or like something like that, and he just anti-airs me, or if I jump out of shield and he up tilts me, like, and like the fact, like, and the up air cross up is going to happen and you're going to die early, like, that's where like shit gets really out of hand for me versus Rob. But yeah, like overall, it's still like a winning matchup, probably, I think. I still feel that way about like Game & Watch and stuff too. I just got to play better. And then versus Steve, I don't know. I think I was just riding the loser's bracket momentum. Like, just playing confident, playing fast, trying to be scary. And it kind of brings me back to, I don't know. I took a lot of losses kind of hard from the Invitational, from the Luminosity Invitational, and then the Invitational for Cirque, and then the main bracket from Cirque. Like, I lost a lot of game fives lately, and I tried to learn from them in terms of like what I was going to do next time in those spots, or to try to prevent those situations next time. And I don't know, I don't want to spoil it or I don't want to reveal my secrets too much, but there was a moment, cause set, when I played Syrup, I won set 1-3-0, but set 2 was game 5. And at one point I was down 2-1. And in that scenario, I almost did the same mistakes I did those last few tournaments I just mentioned over the last like month or so. Mm. And I stopped myself from doing it like last second. And I like really appreciated that for myself. Like, I was glad I was able to do that. And like, cause Steve is like so stressful to fight. So I'm glad I was able to pull through and like stick to what I told myself I was going to improve on. And I truly think it's why I won the tournament, especially while I was down 2-1. Because I can probably think of like at least 2 sets over the last few brackets that I lost for like the same reasons. And I'm just sick of doing that to myself. So I was glad I stuck to the game plan. So
yeah, it, you know, always as someone who's spectating the tournament, I'm a great spectator, and especially when it comes to you winning tournaments, it's a great time to watch. But this one specifically, like I said, I found out about it through you taking an early L, which isn't great, obviously. So I think you really had, you know, you deserve a lot. You're number one seed, so you're supposed to win the tournament, and that is what it is. But I think there's a lot of additional context in here that you should be really proud of, where you took an early L to someone that you were seeded to beat, obviously. Good player, but still, you shouldn't take that L. So you had to bounce back through losers, which is sometimes something that you have a hard time with. Then you had to play against Jude when you're already feeling not great, which is tough because he's a great rival of yours and a great player, and you were down. That's tough. Then you had to play Zomba, another mental hurdle for sure. Has been recently something you're overcoming, but still something that's, like you said, very much in the works. So you had to beat Zomba too. And then you'd beat Syrup in back-to-back sets, along with a run back for Mystery, right? You had to play him again. Is that correct? Yes. Yeah.
Zomba semis, Eric finals, Syrup that's grands. Right. Yeah.
And then two sets against Syrup. And the thing I really liked about them, not only, so those are a lot of hurdles for you that can be obstacles for sure. And a lot of different ones. This is something I love about your region, is there's a lot of really good players that come. It's very top heavy. I mean, there are players like Pharaoh didn't even make top eight at this tournament, and he's a hell of a good player, you know? Just a stacked, tough tournament, and especially at the top level with you and Syrup and Jackal and Zomba, right, making up that top four. I think with Syrup, the thing I like the most is, like, not only just winning that game five, like you said, and not falling into old habits, that's definitely something that you did really well. But some of those wins were three stocks. You know, like, that's insane. Like, you went from, that's a matchup who someone who watches you and cares about your success. I'm like, shit, that's a really stressful matchup against someone who does really well against you. I mean, Syrup's a hell of a player. He's good at the matchup. And to see you three stock him, I was like, holy shit, that's really, really impressive. And that's a really, really good sign. So I think it's not said enough. I'm proud of you, man. I think you did a really, really good job. That's a really fucking hard tournament to win from losers in the way that you had to do it. So I was texting you. I had a fantastic time watching the tournament. I thought it was great because there are certainly a lot of difficult obstacles in your way and you overcame them. So I think that's awesome.
Yeah, like a lot of the time I do this thing where if I take if I lose in winners, I try to, like, play against my next opponents in a way that I think would beat the person I lost to. I know it makes no sense because I'm playing someone new. But I was really trying to prepare for the run back with Eric, and I'm glad it worked. But this sometimes even transcends brackets. Like, I wanted to play against Syrup in a way that I think would work versus Mia next time. Completely different character. But I actually, like, in some situations, I was trying to do things that I thought would do well versus Game Watch. So I actually beat Mia at the Invitational 3-1, but I lost to him in the main bracket that weekend, Game 5. I was up 2-0 and I lost, and I was really upset at some of the things that fell apart after going up 2-0. So, like, there was just some things I really had to work on, like, I also played BD Bean, who's a really good Wario player, and that's a matchup I struggle in with Diddy Kong. There's, like, a lot of close L's, a lot of close W's kind of thing. Like, Gluto's, like, a really tough one for me. Like, I lost to him Game 5, like, not that long ago. So I was kind of fresh off of a Wario L going into that. And I actually thought I did all of the things I wanted to do versus Gluto next time really well. We'll see how it works versus Gluto specifically, but it shows that the things I thought about in my head are improvements to the matchup. If those situations, if those scenarios actually happen against Gluto. So yeah, I appreciate the kind words. Like I said, I didn't know about the tournament till last minute. So I kind of just, I went to my Yu-Gi-Oh! Local the day before, then I just woke up at 10 a.m. or whatever, went to the regional. So I didn't know everyone was watching, but apparently everyone was watching. I appreciate that. Like Phil and Haz and Marcus and all that. It was solid. And I think a lot of these last few tournaments for me, like I haven't been winning the big ones, but I've been getting some run backs, which is cool. I finally got a win on Cola. We haven't played like a million times or anything, but it was a close W. Got a couple wins on Zomba, a couple wins on Syrup, because Syrup actually beat me, I think, 3-0 straight up at Riptide. And I finally got a win on Mia as well. So I really do think if I just get a few more reps in, especially versus these players, it's going to be hard to have opportunities to play some of these players like Aquila and stuff like that. But I truly believe in myself in the sense of if I just get a few more reps in, like the wins are going to happen. And those two sets I had versus Mia that weekend was really validation in terms of like the things I was thinking are very reasonable. Like I really just need a few more reps, like a few more opportunities to fight them, because I won 3-1, was up 2-0 and got reverse 3-0. Like he really had to work for it. And he ended up winning the main bracket. So I just give me a few more chances, please. Versus like the Steves and like the players that are like, you know, in the top 10, top 5 right now. Like I really just want some, my reps in versus them, and I'll feel good about it. Spargo was a weird one. That L was really weird for me because it felt like I was ready for pretty much everyone else. And I feel like I'm usually more ready to play Spargo, but it just felt like I was not ready to fight him. It was a weird set. I probably should have won at least one more game. Like I probably should have won game one, but hopefully next time I'm more ready for that one. But a lot of the other players, I got a lot of runbacks and stuff like that. So,
well, I think the justification on your game plans too, particularly against Mia, I think is probably the biggest W for you overall, right? I mean, you could also argue Syrup and Steve because the character. I feel like that's more of like the characters being the issue, but with Mia, I mean, you've never gotten a win on Mia, right? And Mia is so good and you don't have a lot of opportunities. So you're taking this time to make game plan specifically against Mia and Game & Watch. And I think it's really nice to have somewhat of a justification on the direction you've been going in terms of what you've been planning for your game plans and what you've been working on. So it's really sick to hear because Mia is so good. I know Mia is not the most consistent when coming overseas, but Mia just
it looks like he's figuring it out. Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
One circ, so, yeah. It's a good start.
So pretty wild.
Yeah. And there's just some crazy developments over the last few tournaments, like the invitationals. Like Kola winning, obviously, we talked about a lot when that actually happened.
The Roy Stonks.
But Light is doing ridiculously well. Lima is doing ridiculously well. Mia is obviously super consistent. T had a great weekend as well. So there's some interesting developments in Smash Ultimate in terms of players like really coming through. And then Mia went back to Japan and just won another big tournament too. So I think the best players in the world right now in terms of statistics have to be Spargo and Mia, and I don't think there's arguing it. You know, Spargo won some P tiers, Mia's winning everything and then some. Like those two are definitely the top two. I don't know if I keep up enough to know the separation between their ranks and all that. But like those are the players to beat right now. And then going into Miami, I think there's a lot of interesting things to say, right? Because Sonics is going to be around. It's been a little bit since we saw Sonics, and obviously he's going to make a big impact on the bracket, and also him being there changes a lot when it comes to Mia dominating lately. So like that's the biggest question when it comes to like the most obvious like top seed. Like he hasn't been around in a little bit. Like he's clearly going to change things up a little bit. So
was the LG Invitational his last event that we really saw him at too?
Yeah,
I think so.
Dude,
yeah.
I know that's not that long ago, but there was a few big things. And obviously even just one big bracket without Sonics is always like, oh, that's weird. So like, he's just a household name. So
yeah. Well, I was going to say for him, that is really long. I mean, he's Mr. Grind. Like he's playing all, I mean, he's still doing coin boxes and all that online stuff, and that's great, but I want to see his bounce back tournament. I want to see how he does, man. Cause
it'll happen.
How often do we get opportunities to be like, wow, Sonic's really had a bad tournament. Let's see how he bounces back. Like this is like once or twice a year.
He's either there and winning like top 8ing, top 5, top 2, whatever, Yeah. Or he's not there at all, and we're like waiting for him to come back. So, yeah.
I love that about the LG Invitational. Well, loved isn't it? From like a storyline appreciator standpoint, him versus Spargo round one of losers is like, this is
he had a whole night to think about that happening.
This is Mr. Loser's Run versus Mr. Loser's Run. Like, you know what I mean? Like, this is like, they both are well known for their tournament endurance and their ability to go on a hell of a long loser runs. So that was really exciting, like, just from that standpoint, but then also sucked because it's like, wow, there's so much on the line immediately for both these players who otherwise are super consistent. It was just
first set of the day, just two nobodies playing.
Oh, Jesus, dude. It's just crazy.
How do you follow those sets up? You know what I mean?
Dude, it was
opening with that set. Damn.
First set of the, like, wake up at 9 a.m., right? First match is versus the best player ever. Good luck.
Yeah. Well, and Spargo's been getting tricky. He's been going, you know, Roy, like, mixing up the
characters. Yeah, he has to work for it harder than pretty much anyone else he has to beat in terms of, like, game plans, character selections. It's been an interesting, especially because a lot of the tournaments have been invitational, so a lot of players are getting extra sets versus a bunch of top players. Like, the grind is cool. I played a lot of Smash with like Japanese players at Cirque. I played a lot with, like, that was my first time playing Doramigi and even meeting Doramigi. That was my first time playing friendlies with Snow, even though we played a set at Riptide. Like, just stuff like that. I got a set in versus T. I played Mia twice. I played a lot with Luis and Epic Gabriel. Like, it was really good. I felt like I made up for a mistake I thought I made at the Luminosity Invitational, where I played zero friendlies like an idiot.
That's pretty bad.
I mean, like I said, I just haven't been like playing that much, and
Know. Not so motivated. Yeah,
you're playing COD, bro. You have not been hitting me up for games at midnight anymore. It don't be happening. COD and Yu-Gi-Oh grind is happening.
Where's your calls?
Dude, I got a new controller coming. You can't duck me. Once it comes in, we're playing, bro. And at Throne, we're playing. I want to play.
We were waiting for top eight matches, and I'm sitting with, like, Jude and Zomba, obviously. Like, we're just waiting to play. And Jude turns to me. He's like, do you only play Smash when I hit you up at, like, 3 a.m.? And I was like, yes.
Something just clicked for Jude.
He's like, wait, you really don't play unless I hit you up. I was like, you're one of the only people that, like, hit me up. So,
dude, that's one of my favorite things about Jackal, because I know not everyone listening knows this, but sometimes he'll just have these moments of clarity and he just like says them out loud, which I love, dude. And he said some of the most profound shit I've heard in Smash. Like, it's so, he'll have these moments of clarity that are just so, it's like, yes. Like,
dude,
so
he played Squid Plumber yesterday or Saturday. And we were literally talking about how you're the reason he got way better versus Belmont.
I taught him how to beat Belmont. I'm sorry, everyone else.
He was like waiting in top eight of like a regional, like a glitch type of tournament, right?
Yes.
And he had to play against Belmont. It was probably Squid Plumber again. And he hit you up like 10 minutes before he had to play. But you sent him like a huge essay.
Yeah.
And he's been so grateful for it ever since. And I literally told him that we shouldn't repeat that to you because it's going to get to your head.
Oh, please. I already knew that.
Like, but here we are. Yeah.
He's, of course.
Like, it already got to Haz's head. Year. He already knew.
He's like, who cares? I'm already winning the matchup, so he can take the credit or whatever.
Coach of the year next year for my next Smash. Yeah, I can't wait. Some of those notes.
I don't play that much. And he just turned to me and had a realization.
He's so funny like that. I love hanging out with Jude. It's fun. I can't wait for these next couple tournaments coming up. There was another player I wanted to shout out who's been doing really well is Raru, by the way, the Luigi.
Dude.
Man, he's been killing it. Like,
in a region where it's probably hardest to do it, I would say as well. Mm. With Luigi.
I would agree. Yeah.
Yeah. I think, and it's consistent.
Yeah, I agree that making Luigi work in Japan is like the hardest region to do.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I don't want to say it's impossible anywhere, but I will say it's probably the hardest in Japan. Cause they'd be playing Min Min, bro.
they'd be playing the keep away from me character.
I did have like a 2-second conversation with Guy, and he doesn't think it's that bad. So, and apparently Raru might not either. Cause Raru clearly has a game plan. But they, I do know that they, 99% of Luigi players think Sephiroth Luigi is like as bad as it gets, which makes complete sense.
You got that, a bit of range on stage, and the off stage is like
that
crazy,
matchup,
right?
Is yeah, the disadvantage state, like Cyclone's not saving you, buddy.
I'm
very far away from that reversal.
Yeah, Sephiroth is not down to
if you're very if you're willing to press down B in those situations, you're eating a up smash or something.
Like, I was like, just picture Sephiroth's up air and Luigi Cyclone. That's all you gotta know, really.
Yeah,
like, it's right there.
Very far away from that. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Dude,
so yeah, it's interesting.
You know what else is interesting? Something else cool that happened this weekend is that my guy Ashimo, what can't this guy do, by the way? Throwing the Shibuya Fist Tournament, okay? Number one of its... It's number one. Not sure if that's a Hazmat Making Mars Look Foolish number one reference or not. We're not sure. Or if it's actually...
we're confirmation.
Sure. Or if it's just number one. That's right.
When you say we, like it's a team of people studying to figure it out.
Right. We, well,
it has as a team, yeah.
Might confirm you're denying a team, but the first of its kind, and it was really cool because he said it's an unranked tournament, right? Like he said he didn't want it to, right? That's what he said.
I didn't know about this, like you're telling me this, like I don't know.
It's an unranked invitational, so it like kind of takes the pressure off players. So like, you know, think of it like a normal tournament and more just show up and play and have fun. And like he even tweeted, I'm pretty sure he tweeted at like Luminosity, like don't count this for rankings, which is okay. Really cool because it just brings a whole different vibe to playing. But I mean, you could see the grand finale. Thanks, Chris, our producer, for putting on screen here. But it was Shutan against Ashimo, and they are playing Aegis against Ryu. So it's, you know, they didn't go like fun secondaries and grands or anything, you know, like they still played. But it's just like the idea that it's not ranked. I just thought it was cool. I want to know more about it. Like, I want to understand more. So maybe we can catch up with him at some point and kind of get an idea for what the feels for the tournament. But I had a fun time watching it, so I mean, any excuse to watch a lot of these players play.
Interesting for sure. Are invitationals just like the wave right now? It's kind of crazy that I went to two very recently and I'm going to another one in like 2 weeks. Like
I think
invitationals just are popping right now.
I think a part of it is, so Summit is gone and that left a void where everyone's like, we should step up, and like there's a lack of invitationals and there isn't like one invitational that kind of like is the invitational. From a production standpoint, it's a lot cheaper and easier to deal with 16 people rather than 1600, right?
Yeah,
like, that just makes sense. Getting a venue is easier. It's all smaller and easier, and you kind of get that final end product. Because like, think of like a full day, like 3 day major. Like, what is the value of the first 2 days? Like, if there's a huge upset where like someone that's not ranked top 100 beats like someone that's ranked top 10, okay, sure. But what are the odds of that happening? It's very low. And a lot of people really like where a lot of the viewership and all that stuff is in the top eights or when the well known players step up and play, right? Even if they are playing against someone who's not as well known, right? So the format just makes sense. It's kind of like you trim a lot of the fat of a major out in terms of like round one pools or even arguably round two pools. And two, the thing that majors have though is like that top 128 at a stacked tournament, man, that's
nothing
the best.
Like that.
That dude, it's the best. Like top 64, top 128, you don't get that. But you do get to see more matches of the same players, which is cool. So TLDR, it's a lot easier and cheaper to run invitationals. And you get to kind of control the content a little bit more when you do the invitational, right? Like you and Paris are going to be invited to Throne for as long as it's going on. Cause you know, you guys help promote it and do the podcast and we love watching you guys play. So like, that's going to go on forever, but it is an interesting thing that they have popped up so much. And I do think a part of that is the void that Summit has left behind has left room for more people to take a swing at this format, I think. That's part of the reason why we got started, you know. I don't
know
if we would.
Practice is very solid at these invitationals because it's so much easier to like set a time and place and specific character player. Like, dude, I sat
yeah,
down
as a
with
player.
Gluto.
I'd imagine it's really nice. Yeah,
well, I sat down with Gluto after the Luminosity one for like 4 hours, bro. We just played and just kept playing. And dude, Charles knows this. All y'all know this. I hate to be the first person to stop playing. Like, I like feeling like my opponent has given up. Like they're just done. Like, I hate losing the last game. Like, everyone hates that, right? But like, for me, it's like, it's a fucking lifestyle. Gluto would just not stop playing. I stopped first.
Immovable object, unstoppable force.
I didn't know he had it like that, bro.
Of course he does. Yeah. Look at him, bro. He's the president of France.
I was just like, all right, I'm checking
Dang,
out.
You put the white flag up. You're like, yeah, I'm done.
Like, it's not even about winning or losing. It's I just can't do this.
Yeah. Typically it's the French who surrender first. What the heck, Gavin? Come on, man.
Apparently he has hella stamina when it's not like a hand thing. So,
I believe that.
And apparently he uses a controller that's like easier on his hands when he practices too. Yeah. So.
I meant to ask, like, what is he? Because I know he's been trying to figure out a solution for that. Has he landed on anything he likes?
I don't know. I actually didn't even ask him, but I think
just silently grinded for 5 hours until you waved the white flag.
It wasn't silent. We just didn't talk about that.
Right.
You know, one way I really liked
it was pretty silent, actually.
Yeah. I mean, one thing I like to kind of put a bow on a session just to like end it, just be like, oh, hey, you want to just run like a best of three or best of five and call it. Those are perfect. It's like, okay, we've been grinding. Let's have a set, and then we play the set out, whether it's best of three or best of five, depending on how long you want the set, and then you just end it from there. Because I mean, we all came from the Omega grind culture back in the day from Brawl and stuff like that. I used to play, I shit you not, like 12, 16-hour sessions in Brawl, when I was like a high schooler and had nothing better to do and really liked playing Smash. I mean, I still like playing Smash, but I definitely wouldn't be able to pull a 16-hour day. No way. Like, my back would start hurting. Like, my hands are going to hurt. Like, physical limitations stop me, right?
Yes.
But one thing that me and Void got a lot better at, too, especially when Void lived in Hawaii, sometimes we would overgrind to the point where, like, we're playing the game, but we're not really playing the game.
Yeah.
Our brain's, like, mush, and we're kind of
I did
just,
that
like,
very often.
Right. That's when you notice that starting to happen, you need to just stop.
Yeah. And because now you're affecting probably like the next session because you're gonna feel like shit. Like
you're probably degressing in terms of your progress, right? Like you're just going backwards and all your old habits are coming back and you're not. So me and Void started doing like maybe 1 to 2 hour sessions, and we would just like stop it early and talk about the matches. Like I think that's when
that's
we started
good.
Doing that.
I like that.
Yes. It helped really a lot, where it's just like, okay, because me and Void used to just grind forever, but eventually we got to the point where we only played for shorter amounts of time. But I felt like that 1 hour felt better than like the 7 hour of just like mush grinding, where your brain's just mush and you're just grinding for no reason. You're not really intaking anything. You're not really improving. You're just going through the motions, which can be helpful, but I'm a very big fan of knowing your stamina and how like, understand the process of at least, like, even if you don't know how to do it, try to optimize your time when playing. And sneak peek, as you get older, you are forced to do this because you will have less time. So coming from someone who had infinite time back in high school to now having very little time, it's trying to make those little optimizations in where it's like, okay, can I make this 1 hour of practice feel like 2 or 3 hours of practice, right? So I think understanding your stamina is important.
You're going to play with your friend Haslam when we go to San Jose, right?
Yes, I would love to. Yeah, it's a vacation. I'm going to play a lot of video games and eat a lot of good food and have
Yay,
a lot of fun.
Dude, I can't wait.
That is the plan. Yeah, we're bringing our Yu-Gi-Oh cards. Too. Yes, we're nerding out.
I can't. Yes, you can.
Wait, you're not bringing your Yu-Gi-Oh cards?
Oh, no, I definitely am. I said early.
Oh, okay. I was like, how can you not bring your Yu-Gi-Oh cards?
He's going early.
It's not that hard to bring a deck box.
Yeah, TSA pre-checking.
Yeah.
Dude.
I might bring two. I'm not saying what the second one is. You already know
you
what
better.
It is,
though. Oh, of course I do. Yeah. I know both your decks. You don't know my secret second.
I don't care what it is.
It doesn't matter, yeah.
Because I do want to bring my goat deck, but goat is pretty slow.
I'll bring my goat deck. I have two goat decks. Let's bring
I'll play against your goat deck.
Who cares?
Gavin. I'll bring the turbo one. There's a combo goat deck. What is it? It's like Monster Gate and like some other card where you just like.
Goat is not
it's
that
still
bad,
nothing
bro.
Compared to modern combos, though.
Well, no shit. Like
modern combos, oh my god, dude! It's like too much, is what I'd say. Goat's fine. We should do Edison. I feel like that's a good.
I gotta expand my brain.
Overstimulating, like
Modern Yu-Gi-Oh! Is insane. Like, it is such a trip to try to learn that shit after the last time I played is like when I was in elementary school. You know, I was like, what is happening right now? Like, what the fuck?
It's awesome, dude.
It is cool. I'm having a lot of fun learning it, and the decks I randomly chose and really like are getting support, so that's always fun.
Nice.
What are you gonna do?
Dude.
Anyway, well, I think we're gonna get into some Patreon content. I'm excited to watch Miami this weekend. I think you're gonna have a good tournament, Gavin. Grind up. When are you heading in? Thursday?
Thursday, yep.
What's the plan? Are you playing with Paris?
Probably.
Are you grinding Rivals before the event so you have to...
No, I'm grinding Call of Duty instead.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
See you at Call of Duty 4 in the morning when you have a flight at 7 a.m.
Yay. Camos.
All right. We're going to get into Patreon bonus content. Probably just continuing the conversation about Smash. We didn't do a topic this week, so a mystery topic. That's how you market it. We're unprepared, so it'll be a mystery even to us. All right. All right. So we were talking after the show. We were trying to figure out what we're going to do for Patreon, and we realized Gavin's going to be doing a lot of VOD reviews from his recent VODs to prepare for Miami anyway. So he's going to do VOD review, and he's going to post those before he goes to Miami. So if you're interested in that, that's the Patreon stuff for this week. So check that out, tweaktalks.com/Patreon, and we'll see you there.
Patreon.com/tweaktalks, but you know what he meant.
What did I say?
So you just flipped it. It was funny.
Did I do tweaktalks.com/Patreon?
Yes.
Did I really?
Oh, God. Yeah. I'll probably upload like one or two sets before Miami. I like the mix of the typical content with the VOD reviews. So yeah, thank you guys so much. We have a bunch of stuff to look over, so I think it's pretty good regardless of which one I choose to review. Lots of exciting stuff coming up. Thanks for supporting the show and us as always, and have a good one.
Peace.